Should I? Nope. I'll be right back. And just like that, he disappears. I lean against the storefront to wait for him, pulling my phone out. There's a missed call from Bubby, and another one from Mom, but still no birthday text from Ethan and Jesse. Which isn't terribly surprising, given what must be an extremely demanding makeout schedule. Not to mention the fact that they probably hate my guts now. And I probably deserve it. Hanging up on them was a dick move, but I guess some part of me was hoping for a birthday do-over. A rewind and redo. After a minute, Ben emerges from Duane Reade with a bag he won't show me. Okay, where were we? He asks. He can't seem to stop smiling. You were just about to elaborate on me being irresistible? He takes my hand again. You are. We go on walking without speaking, all the way to the end of the block. Hey, he says finally, catching my eye. Thanks for being there, for me, with Dylan. Come on, what kind of asshole would ditch you in that moment? An asshole who was justifiably mad at me for not telling him about Hudson? I'm the asshole. I should have believed you when you said it was nothing. You're not an asshole, he says. I am sometimes. No, you're not. You're just good. Do you even see it? We're not even on speaking terms, and you drop everything to be there at the hospital with me. Well, I really like you, I blurt, and I like us, even if we are a hot mess as a couple. He hugs me sideways. I like us too, and I feel really lucky to have you, even as a friend. I stop short. Record scratch. As a friend? Well, I thought... I didn't want to assume anything? Excuse me, we are not platonic bros, Ben Alejo. Okay then. And when we get back to my apartment, we are not going to do platonic bro things. Good to know. He bites his lip. So we're boyfriends again? Do you want to be? Yeah? Okay. I nod, beaming. This is a really great birthday. For you or Obama? Both. Okay, one more thing, Ben says. I just want you to know I'm going to be open with you about stuff from now on. I'm not going to sugarcoat. I like that. Totally open. Me too. I don't think you could be closed off if you tried. You don't know me. I swat him, but he just laughs and wraps his arms around my waist. Here's the thing, he says. I'm not going to pretend this Hudson stuff isn't confusing, because it is. But I just want you to know that the way I feel about you isn't confusing. And how do you feel? I mean, tell me in Spanish again, okay? He laughs. Okay. But then he kisses me right here on Columbus Avenue, and I forget what I'm saying. I forget how to speak. The next hour is a blur in the best possible way. Ben insists on a quick detour to Levin Bakery, where he skips all the bullshit and orders the biggest, warmest double chocolate chip cookie ever made. Your favorite. How did you know that? I just know. He insists on treating me, and he looks so pleased with himself that I don't even protest. He holds my hand the whole way home, and when the elevator door closes, we're kissing. When it opens again, we're kissing. I kiss him while I root in my pocket for my keys, and I kiss him in the doorway, and I kiss him in our foyer. We shove the bags on the dining room table, and we kiss beneath Uncle Milton's horses. You'd think I'd be tired of kissing right now. You'd think I'd get distracted, but I've never been more focused in my whole entire life. I just love this, every part of it. The hitch in his breath, and his slightly swollen lips, and knowing I'm the one who made both of those things happen. I love the way the spaces between our bodies vanish, like we can't be close enough. I love the feeling of my hands in his hair. I love the softness of the nape of his neck. And most of all, I love it when our lips are touching and our mouths slide open and my heart's a mile a minute, and breath becomes something we share. I've spent my whole life thinking talking was the best thing I could do with my mouth. But maybe talking's overrated. Mouth is still the best organ, though, hands down. What do you think is happening? I kiss him gently at the Obama party right now. He kisses me back. probably this. It's strange that you can laugh against another person's lips. Barack and Michelle? Barack and Trudeau. He kisses me again, with Joe watching wistfully. So wistfully. My phone starts buzzing in my back pocket, which is currently right underneath Ben's palm. Someone's calling you, he says. Let's ignore it. No, no way. Last time I ignored a phone call, Dylan was, sheesh, okay. I pull it out and peer at the screen. It's my dad. Ben kisses me quickly. Answer it. Hi, Dad. I sound breathless and guilty. I sound exactly like a boy who's been making out with his boyfriend in an empty apartment. How's the birthday going? He says. Great. Ben keeps his eyes fixed on mine. I miss you, bud. I'm eating cake tonight in your honor. Cool. I got them to put your name on it, too. And now I'm like, why don't I always do this? You don't have to wait for a birthday. I'm gonna start going once a week and giving the bakery guys some random name, and voila. Great idea, Dad. So, what have you been up to? Not much. I shake my head slowly. Actually, Dad, this is kind of a bad... Wait, I'll let you go, but I just wanted to let you know your present from Mom and me just got delivered. It's waiting for you now in the lobby. Ben just watches me, smiling. Okay, I'll go get it in just a... You should go get it now, bud. It's perishable. Let me know what you think, okay? We say goodbye and hang up, and Ben wraps his arms around me. My phone buzzes. Let me know when you get it. Winky emoji. Awesome, now he's texting me. I roll my eyes. So apparently I'm supposed to pick up a package from the lobby right this second. Okay. Come with me. You got it. There's a 90% chance that this is from Harry and David. I tell Ben on the elevator. Who are they? You know, the fancy gourmet guys who make Moose Munch and those pears, fruit of the month? Ben looks at me blankly. It's... Anyway, let's just grab the box, take a picture, text it to my parents, and then I'm turning my phone off all night. That is an extremely good plan. The first thing I hear when the elevator doors open is a very familiar voice. Arthur! My mouth falls open. Jess? And Ethan, says Ethan. I don't understand. I glance back at Ben, but he's staring at his feet. I turn back to Jesse and Ethan, who look larger than life next to the rows of tiny mailboxes. Ethan's in gym shorts and a Milton High t-shirt, and Jesse's in a sundress, and they're both carrying duffel bags. What are you doing here? Jesse smiles shyly. Your mom flew us up with her sky miles, just for the night. Wait, I clap my hands over my mouth. Are you my surprise? Hi, I'm Ben, Ben says suddenly. Jesse hesitates. Nice to meet you. My boyfriend, I say quickly. We're dating again now. Oh. And they're dating too, I say to Ben. Ethan and Jess. They're a couple. Out of nowhere. But I'm happy for them. Arthur, you don't have to- I am! I'm happy for you. Extremely. And totally. You know what should be a word? Extrotally. Ben's lips twist up at the corners. Anyway, wow, you're here for my birthday. Extrotally, says Ethan. And you don't hate me. Why would we hate you? Asks Jesse. Because I hung up on you and I was a jerk? But you're here. I look from Jesse to Ethan, grinning. You're in New York! Jesse grins back. Your parents didn't want you to be alone on your birthday. Although, she glances at Ben, who promptly turns bright red. And in that moment, it hits me. Ben, at my apartment, with no parents, on my birthday. Just us, and 6 unopened boxes of condoms, and... Ethan and Jesse. I mean... Talk about some fucking next-level parental interference. But, as cockblocks go, this is kind of a great one. I keep staring at everyone's faces and smiling. Ethan, Jesse, and Ben, all in a row. My 3 favorite people in 1 tiny elevator. And no one hates me. Nothing's broken. Maybe the universe has my back after all. Did you guys take the subway from the airport? Asks Ben. We lifted. Says Jesse. You grew up here, right? Yep, in Alphabet City. That sounds like Sesame Street.
That's what he said, Ben says, nudging me, and then he blushes. Not like that. Not like that's what he said. I just mean Arthur said that. The Sesame Street thing about Alphabet City.
Got it. Jesse laughs. The doors slide open and we step out into the corridor.
So how long have you guys been dating?
Asks Ben. Ethan and Jesse glance at each other.
Like 2 months? A little more?
It's funny. They're not touching. They're not even standing that close to each other. Which makes me feel weird. Like they're walking on eggshells. Like I scared them out of being affectionate. But maybe they're just a really hands-off kind of couple.
Here's home, I say brightly, opening the door to 3A.
My phone buzzes, Ben slyly texting from my doorway.
They're a couple?
Yup. Upside down smiley.
You okay?
This place is so nice. Jesse peers around the living room.
Extrotally.
5 more upside down smileys. Laughing crying emoji.
Let me know if you guys need some time to talk. I can head home, no worries.
No! I say out loud. Jesse and Ethan look at me expectantly, while Ben bites back a grin. I blush down at my phone.
Don't go, I need you. Do you think your parents would let you stay overnight?
Fingers crossed emoji, praying hands emoji.
You got it. I'll just tell them I'm at Dylan's sickbed.
Wow. Tell D he's the best wingman ever. A plus. Our eyes lock. Ben grins. I grin too.
Whoa. Is that Catherine the Great?
Asks Ethan, blinking up at the walls.
Chapter 34. Ben. Sunday, August 5th. I really wanted some solo time with Arthur, but a double date with his best friends is way better than no date at all. We're all sitting in his uncle's living room, splitting his Levain cookie. I give him my piece, even though I'm hungry. I can only imagine what he's going through right now. It's like 1 minute Arthur, Jesse, and Ethan were just the three amigos, and now 2 amigos are dating, and the other amigo is spending way more time alone. At least Hudson and I had each other when Dylan and Harriet started dating. Arthur has to go home and roll around like a third wheel. So, you guys are good? Jesse says. Arthur nods. My best friend was in the hospital, and Arthur was there for me, I say. He's the only person I wanted to talk to when all that was happening. Arthur and Jesse smile. That's sweet. Is your friend okay? He died, I say with a shrug. It happens. Jesse freezes, and Ethan's hand slaps over his mouth. Arthur bursts out laughing. Dylan is alive, a little too alive, which is a thing. I like this guy, Ethan says, pointing at me. I now feel extra bad that we're cock-blocking. What? Arthur says. No, you're not. Okay, maybe a little, but I'm so happy you're here. You can be happy that we're here and want to throttle us for cock-blocking. I am that. Jesse leans forward. We can go do something. A whole city of stuff to do. Don't be silly, I say. Yeah, Arthur side-eyes me. Don't be silly. I ask them more about themselves, giving Arthur some extra time to absorb this whole thing unfolding before him. They share stories of all the different ways they used to spend their summers, like roasting marshmallows and camping out in Jesse's backyard, and Arthur reading Draco and Hermione fanfiction in dramatic voices, and watching Ethan battle other kids at the mall in Pokemon matches. Everything was simpler when they were just three kids being best friends. My phone rings. It's Dylan. I gotta take this, I say. I get up and answer the call in Arthur's bedroom. Are you dying again? I ask, a little nervous. No, I'm free and living my best rebirth, Dylan says. I am out of that hellhole. I didn't come back from the dead to pee in a pan. No one was making you pee in a pan. The hospital has bathrooms. Illusions! Where are you and Arthur? At his place. His best friends just surprised us. Flew in from Georgia. They're apparently dating, too.
Wait, can Samantha and I come over, too? It can be an orgy.
Or just a birthday party.
We'll start there.
I have an idea. I'll tell Arthur you and Samantha might crash here, too, but you have to do me a favor. Pick up a cake that says... An hour later, Dylan and Samantha have joined the party. Dylan has hijacked the spotlight as he regales his tale of a young man who flipped off death to Ethan and Arthur and gives them tips on how they can also escape death's clutches. Ethan wants to know why Dylan's parents are already letting him party. And Arthur is just nodding along while eating pizza. Samantha is already over Dylan's second shot at life, so she's talking with Jesse about her dreams of all the apps she wants to create. I drag Dylan into the kitchen to make sure the birthday cake is good to go. Thanks so much, man. I shut the box and put it back in the fridge. So, how are you feeling? Dylan-ness aside.
I'm good. Panic attacks are a bitch. But
I'm glad we went. Better safe than sorry. Did something happen? Or was your heart just racing faster like last time you got nervous?
Something happened, Dylan says. We were in Central Park, watching two cyclists making out. I was making jokes about what their dirty talk in bed must be like. Pumping tires, if there are any chains in need of good lubing. Reminders not to forget helmets before they went for another ride. I wanted to keep going because she was laughing so hard, and I said, I love you.
Dylan, dude, you agreed to take it slow.
That's what the cyclist said, Dylan says.
I glare.
I know. Look, it slipped, and I tried taking it back, and I was making an even bigger ass of myself. I was freaking out about losing her for real this time, and blood was rushing to my head, and my heart was racing. Then Samantha freaked out because I was freaking out, and that only made things worse, and I was sure I was a goner.
Dylan panicking is my least favorite, Dylan.
Well, you're both obviously okay. Samantha's future husband. Surprised me too, Dylan says. Just like when she dropped that L-bomb after you left. I had to Han Solo her at first, but then I got real, which was very, very hard.
I bet it was. I hug him. I'm really happy for you. I can't wait to be the best man at your ridiculous coffee shop wedding.
I hope there's a ridiculous coffee shop wedding to be had. I know I jump ahead, and I know I'm a superior immortal being, but I'm not psychic, so I just gotta keep it moving like it's going to go somewhere good.
She might be the one, I say.
And Arthur might be the one, Dylan says.
What if, right?
Dylan pats me on the shoulder. But, in case Arthur and Samantha aren't the ones, we should invite Hudson and Harriet over. Make this orgy extra interesting.
The doorbell rings.
What the fuck?
Impossible, I say. Dylan snaps his fingers.
I am a man of magic now, Big Ben. I could have summoned them.
I meet Arthur by the door, and even though it's impossible, I'm relieved it's two young women and not Hudson and Harriet.
You came!
Arthur shouts as he hugs the two of them, and one playfully rolls her eyes as she hugs him back, like a big sister type.
Ben, this is Namrata and Juliet.
The legendary Ben, Juliet says.
The daily drama behind the fucking Shoemaker Files never getting done, Namrata says, shaking my hand.
I brought sparkling cider, Juliet says.
Yes, let's get fucked up, Arthur says.
There's no alcohol. We're not getting drunk with you. Did you not hear us yesterday? Namrata shakes her head.
We're only here for a few minutes. We just couldn't let you be alone on your birthday.
She peeks into the living room.
Which you're clearly not.
Your mom knows about this, right?
She knows people are here,
We're so fired, Namrata says. We were never here.
Arthur holds out his phone at selfie length.
Smile!
Namrata and Juliet do not smile. Arthur and I go into the kitchen and grab 8 glasses for this one bottle of cider. Not a lot to go around, but there's enough to toast to his birthday and sip away. Dylan takes the empty cider bottle and tries to get a game of spin the bottle going, and literally no one else wants to play. Juliet taps Arthur's shoulder to give him a hug. Arthur, we have to go before we're late for the party. But we're so happy your birthday made a turn for the better, Namrata says. Wait, you can't go. There's a cake, I say. There is? Arthur asks. Stay and sing happy birthday, I ask them. Namrata and Juliet nod. Dylan and Samantha help me out in the kitchen. I'm carrying the cake as we re-enter the room and everyone starts singing happy birthday. On top of the chocolate cake, vanilla frosting spells, do not throw away your wish. Arthur looks around and we smile for a photo while the cake is still lit. I'm so happy I had a role in flipping this birthday around. I mean, I kind of ruined it in the first place, but I got the ship sailing again, and that's what Arthur will hopefully remember, no matter what happens between us. Arthur finally blows out the candles. What did you wish for? I ask. Can't say, but I did not throw away my wish. Hamilton tickets before you leave? Hamilton tickets before I leave. I can't believe they showed up, Arthur says as he comes back into the living room after saying goodnight to Namrata and Juliet. He settles back on the floor next to me, plates of half-eaten cake at our feet. I knew they liked me, he gestures at all of us. I still can't believe you're all here. Everyone's faces have been the best surprises today. You and best birthday plot twist for sure, I say. No one deserves a birthday party with all his favorite people more than Arthur. He always goes extra for everyone, and it's about time everyone goes extra for him. He has me making things right. Dylan and Samantha coming straight from the hospital. Ethan and Jesse flying from Georgia. Namrata and Juliet popping in to prove he's not just the boss's kid. Now it's a triple date, Dylan says. I have an idea. No, you don't, I say. Why, yes, I do. If it's sexual, just don't. Dylan grins. Maybe we should have a 6-way... Dylan! Wedding! Dylan finishes. 6-way wedding, since we have 3 couples. Get your mind out of the gutter, Big Ben. He rolls his eyes at Samantha, who's busy rolling her eyes at him. Hey, future wife. You're the one who made the future husband comment. You know what you've gotten yourself into. I will always love you, and I will always hate your coffee. Samantha shakes her head with a smile. Let's talk about always later. It's Arthur's birthday right now. Agreed, I say. I'm just saying, Dylan says. This is huge. 3 couples in 1 room. This feels like the fellowship of the wedding rings. His parents met when they were young, and they're still married today. I explained to Ethan and Jesse so they're caught up on why Dylan is the way he is when it comes to love. I turn back to Dylan. Doesn't mean everyone else is excited to talk about the future. I grab Arthur's hand. Some of us want to live in our moment. In our do-over. You're going to have a lifetime of moments, Dylan says. It's you guys, Arthur and Ben. You defied the odds. This is that Hollywood love. I have no doubts about you two. Distance be damned. He points at Jesse and Ethan. You guys seem tight. Just don't pull a Ben and Hudson and ruin the squad. Pretty sure you and Harriet ruined the squad first, I say. Dylan waves me off. Details. It's something we talked about, obviously, Jesse says.
But what were we going to do? Not give it a shot? We didn't just wake up one day with feelings.
Definitely not, Ethan says.
But we had an opening and we took it. Maybe we'll regret it down the line, but I doubt it. We've known each other forever. There's no throwing away that friendship.
I hope some of this relieves Arthur. That when he goes home, he won't have to constantly freak out about his squad disbanding.
Do you guys regret dating your friends? Ethan asks.
Yep, sure do, Dylan says without missing a beat.
You do? I ask.
A good thing got ruined for something that went nowhere. Maybe if I'd known Harriet for as long as these two have known each other, it would have been different.
Yeah, but I knew Hudson for even shorter, and
I'm nervous about where this conversation is going.
Do you regret Hudson? Arthur asks.
I miss my friends, I say. It's not like I need Hudson and Harriet here right now, but I don't want it to be such a ridiculous thought. They were our best friends, and everything feels so split up. Like, I can never hang out with Harriet without it feeling weird for Hudson or Dylan. Hudson and Dylan can't clown around. I can't hang alone with Hudson without that awkwardness in the air. No more hanging out just to hang out.
But do you regret dating Hudson?
Arthur asks.
You can be honest. It's okay.
I don't regret dating Hudson, I say. I felt differently a few weeks ago. I would have kept the truth a secret back then, too. But Arthur gets all my honesty. It's like Ethan and Jesse, and Dylan and Harriet. We had to try. What if it had been awesome?
It wasn't, but what if it had been?
We would have never known. And I'm who I am today because I dated Hudson. I'm the guy you like because I dated Hudson. Who you met because I dated him and broke up with him.
Cheers to Hudson, Dylan says, raising a glass.
No one moves.
Too much?
I gesture at Dylan's entire being. Blanket, yes, too much. I turn back to Arthur. I had to answer that what-if question with Hudson, just like we answered our own. No regrets there either? Arthur asks. There's nothing to regret, I say.
Not yet,
Arthur says. Not ever, I say, wrapping my arm around his shoulders. If I don't regret Hudson, there's no way I could ever regret Arthur. I just have no idea what our next chapters look like, what kind of ending we need to brace ourselves for.
It's getting late, so we're figuring out sleeping arrangements. Arthur's dad was expecting Jesse to take Arthur's bed for Arthur to stay in his uncle's bed and Ethan to camp out in the living room. This is clearly not happening anymore. Ethan and Jesse are already in pajamas on the fold-out couch. Dylan is dragging Samantha into his shameless world and taking Milton's room, and I'll be with Arthur in his room, finally alone. If Dylan ever leaves.
This room is adorable,
Dylan says when it's just the three of us in Arthur's room.
Which bunk do you sleep on?
I'm always on the bottom, Arthur says, fitting new sheets onto the mattress.
Oh,
Dylan says. Arthur freezes.
Wait, that's not what I meant. It's not what I mean, I think. But I wasn't talking about that, just talking about sleeping in bunk beds, nothing else.
Amazing, Dylan says.
You can't write this shit. On that note, I'm gonna go get started on my future child.
Dylan, do not have sex in that bed, I say.
We're going to role play. I'm going to be a vampire and she's going to be the slayer.
Samantha is standing at the door. Dylan, we're going to sleep. Let's go. She turns back around and heads into Milton's room.
Sleep is code, FYI, Dylan says,
closing the door behind him. Arthur and I turn off the lights and rest on top of the sheets, face to face.
So, good birthday? I ask.
It started a little on the mopey side. I'm sorry. Then there was a major improvement.
You're welcome.
Then it got a little mopey again. I'm sorry for Dylan.
And now we're here.
Let's not be mopey, I say. We're finally alone. And I have something for you. Arthur lights up.
Really?
I pull out my phone and open Gmail, where I save all my Wicked Wizard War chapters. I learned my lesson after losing Sorcerer Squad years ago after the old family laptop crashed. I get the chapter up. I wrote you into the Wicked Wizard War. Arthur shoots up and bangs his head against the bottom of the top bunk. I massage his head while laughing.
You okay?
Yeah, I mean, I've been written into my favorite story since Hamilton. Am I taller?
No, but you're a king.
King Arturo. You don't have to read it now.
When did you write this?
I started on Monday and finished yesterday.
Were you going to send it to me
if we didn't start talking again? I was working up the nerve. I think so, though. Even Hudson told me I should send it to you. Arthur nods. I shouldn't have brought him up again, I say. Sorry.
You and Dylan should reach out to Hudson and Harriet. Try to make things right.
Really? That won't be weird for you?
It's only weird if I get in your way.
I know you miss your friends.
What if all hope isn't lost there? You should find out.
I'll think about it, I say, lighting up with this possibility of getting Dylan, Harriet, and Hudson in the same room again.
But only explore the friend stuff, Arthur says. Do not ask any what-if questions about you and Hudson dating again. That would probably end in literal heartbreak at the hands of someone pretty familiar with the law because of a summer internship, but too reckless to care.
Death threat well received.
You got it.
I'm lucky that Arthur is keeping his cool about this.
I was going to ask Harriet to swing by this week to pick up the box for Hudson. Get it out of my room. But I can just give it to him myself.
You don't have to do that, Arthur says.
I want to.
No, really. I don't need you getting rid of gifts and deleting 56 pictures on Instagram. It's different. I know you love me. I would destroy anyone who tried to get me to erase any trace of you.
You're really feisty today, I say.
Still, it's something I need to do for me. I don't need little reminders of the person Hudson stopped being while we were dating. Not when I'm trying to remember who he is as a friend. I return the focus to Arthur's birthday, which is the most important thing tonight. We get comfortable, and he begins reading his chapter. He laughs at all the King Arturo jokes I spent extra time getting right for him. He kisses me whenever King Arturo kisses Benjamin. I can't believe there was ever a chance I wasn't going to see Arthur today. Maybe ever again. I love you, Arthur, I say. Arthur turns to me.
Te amo, too, Ben.
Chapter 35. Arthur. When my eyes flutter open, Dylan's an inch from my face.
Gentlemen, please unhook your dicks immediately. It's an emergency.
That's not how dicks work.
Dylan winks.
I know how dicks work.
Ben hugs me closer, mumbling something into my shoulder.
And cover your naked selves. Think of the children. We're like not even close to naked.
Ben sits up, tugging his t-shirt down.
We're literally wearing more clothes than you are.
Dylan waggles his eyebrows.
Is that a challenge?
For you to put on more clothes? Sure.
What's the emergency?
I ask.
We're getting donuts, says Dylan, and we need recommendations.
Ben blinks.
You woke us up to get donut recommendations?
Yes.
Okay, is Dunkin' Donuts out of business, or are you actually suggesting Dunkin' Donuts? Did you just look me in the eye and say that?
What's wrong with Dunkin'?
Dylan shudders. They are the Starbucks of donuts.
Starbucks has donuts, says Ben. Starbucks is the Starbucks of donuts.
Please stop.
Donuts are donuts.
Bennis the Menace. You're better than this.
Samantha pokes her head in the doorway. Come on, we're going to Beard Papa's. We'll bring stuff back. Ben, you coming?
Put your pants on, Ben 10, says Dylan. You just got enrolled in Donuts 101.
When I wander into the living room, Jesse's legs are in Ethan's lap. It hits me that this is the first time the three of us have been alone together all summer. I sink into a chair, wrapping my arms around my knees.
This is strange.
Jesse laughs nervously.
What's strange?
I don't know.
The fact that you're here, in New York, and you're dating,
and you have a boyfriend, says Jesse. A really cute boyfriend.
Yeah.
So, everything worked out? You guys are good again?
We're good. Totally good. For 2 more days, anyway.
I try to smile, but it won't stick. Jesse looks at me expectantly.
Are you guys gonna...
No, I don't know. We haven't talked about it.
You should, Jesse says. My chest tightens.
Yeah. Now Ethan's hands are resting on Jesse's calves? Sort of her knees? I'm trying not to fixate on it, but wow. It's like the time Dad shaved off his beard. And he was Dad, but he wasn't. And my 12-year-old brain couldn't handle it. And here I am all over again, not handling it. Or maybe this is me handling it.
Art, I'm really, really sorry we didn't tell you about us.
I know it's weird for you. Of course it would be.
No, you weren't weird. I shake my head quickly. I was weird. It's just, I don't know. I felt like Amneris in Aida. Like, I should have seen it coming.
Dude, Ethan exhales. I'm so sorry. We did that. We Amneris'd you.
Please, speak English, says Jesse.
But I was such a dick. I'm sorry. You guys are happy, and I'm happy for you.
No, and I hate how I reacted. I hate that I made you feel weird.
Well, says Ethan, I hate that I made you think I had issues with you being gay.
Yeah, but that was in my mind.
I should have made it really clear. Ethan shakes his head. I should have been in your texts every day. I'm really sorry, Art.
It's fine.
I know. I just wish I'd handled it differently.
For a moment, no one speaks.
Well, maybe we should have a do-over, I say.
A do-over?
Jesse?
Ethan?
I have something to tell you.
I pause.
I'm gay.
They both look at me expectantly.
We know? Says Jesse.
No, this is a do-over. Now you guys say something.
Okay, Jesse nods. What do you want us to say?
Whatever you want to say, like, sweet, or two thumbs up, or, oh, cool, that's badass, or,
oh, cool, that's badass, says Jesse.
Two thumbs up, says Ethan.
Okay, good. And now it's your turn.
Jesse furrows her brow.
You mean...
Hey, guys, what's up? What's your big news? I ask loudly.
Well, Jesse says. Ethan grins down at his phone screen. Ethan and I are dating.
What? That's great! I clasp my hands together. I'm so happy for you. This is romantic as fuck!
Jesse laughs. I think dial it back 2 notches.
Okay, but I am happy for you. You know that, right?
I know, but it's a little weird, too. It's different.
Jesse shrugs.
I get that.
Well, you guys are my best friends. That's not different.
True.
Jessie smiles wetly, sliding her legs off of Ethan's. Come on. And the next thing I know, she's squeezing into my chair beside me. Excuse me, personal space. I push her away, biting back a grin. Not a chance. She flings her arms around my shoulders and nuzzles closer. My phone buzzes with a text. Jessie shamelessly reads over my shoulder. I love you, dude. From Ethan. And not the group chat. It's in our solo thread. And when I look up to catch his eye, he's already halfway to the armchair.
I want in, he says, planting himself firmly in both of our laps.
I collapse beside Ben on the couch. They're all gone. All those terrible people are gone.
Finally.
He tugs me closer. Ben's funny. He's weird about touching in front of our friends, but now that they're gone, there can't be an inch of space between us.
I like Jessie and Ethan, though.
Jessie and Ethan. One word. I'm still... Wow.
Must be hard to get used to.
It's weird. I think I really am happy for them. I smile up at him. Maybe I'm just happy. He buries his face in my shoulder.
I know what you mean. This is the best. It's like we're dads.
He laughs.
Dads?
Like we're an old New York couple just sitting around doing nothing.
I like doing nothing with you.
Me too. And I do. I like it so fucking much. I always thought love was about the showstopper moments. No dialogue, no filler. But if the quiet parts are filler, maybe filler's underrated.
We should do this every day, I say. All two of them?
Asks Ben, with this sad half-smile. My heart sinks. Oh.
Sorry to be a downer.
No, I kiss his head. You're being real with me. Just like you said. He nods. But I hate this.
Me too, he says softly. Hey, come here.
I shift over to lie down, and then I pull him down with me, chest to chest, limbs in a tangle. He tucks his head in the crook of my neck and sniffs. My heart beats in triple time. He's so palpably sad. It almost catches me off guard. I pull back, and for a moment, I just study his face. The thick eyelashes fanning across his flushed cheeks. The constellation of freckles on his nose. It's one of those silences that's so thick, it feels solid. I press my lips to his forehead. Deep breath. So, I ask finally, what happens in 2 days? Ben pauses.
I don't know.
I move back to Georgia. He catches my gaze.
I've never had a long-distance boyfriend.
I've never had any kind of boyfriend until you, I say. I don't even know how it works.
How what works?
Time apart. My hands linger on his jawline. Like in movies, it's just a montage. You know? They're pining. Maybe they talk on the phone a few times. Someone gets a haircut or grows a beard or whatever so you can see the passage of time, but I don't know if that's realistic. I kind of think we just FaceTime and text and miss each other a lot. And maybe masturbate on the phone with each other sometimes. Is that a thing? Ben looks taken aback. I have no idea. But then, what if it goes south? Like, I'll be the guy who's sad, drunk, and alone, and you'll be going to raves and kissing boys, and I'll try to call, but you'll be in a sex den with a bunch of hot guys with celebrity parents, but they're all dead around the eyes, and they're probably cocaine. Jesus, Arthur, you realize I spend 99% of my time writing about wizards and playing The Sims, right?
I know. You just have no filter, do you?
None. He kisses my cheek. Okay. I have to go do something now.
Ooh, what? Is it a secret? Should I close my eyes?
You don't have to close your eyes. Just hang tight. Listen to 3 Dear Evan Hansen songs, and I'll be ready. I sit up straight, beaming.
You got it!
But I'm barely past Zoe's part and only us when my FaceTime app pops up with a call. I press accept.
Hi, Mom. Hi, sweetie. She's in the most generic-looking hotel room I've ever seen in my life. Stark white bedding, plush headboard, framed picture of the beach. How did the surprise go? It was great. What are Ethan and Jesse like as a couple? I can't picture it. Oh, they're the worst, I start to say, but then my bedroom door creaks open, and I lose the ability to speak. Because, wow. Wow. There's my boyfriend, wearing only boxers, looking straight at me, like, "You okay, sweetie?" Mom asks. Ben's hand flies over his mouth. He scurries back into my room, yanking the door shut behind him. "I've gotta go, Mom. Sorry." I end the call before she can ask why. When I walk into my room, my bed's covered in heart stickers, with a line of tea lights trailing from my door. And then, there's Ben, perched in the middle of the bottom bunk next to his laptop. "I didn't light the candles. I'm sorry. I didn't want to set your apartment on fire. And Dwayne Reed didn't have rose petals, so I went with stickers." "Ben, I know, it looks ridiculous. It's perfect. You like it?" The corners of his mouth quirk up. "I love everything in this room," I tell him. "Every single thing."
Chapter 36. Ben. This morning, I got to wake up next to Arthur, and I can't believe there was almost a world where that never happened. I felt the same way last night when we were passing out with my face pressed against his shoulder, breathing in his t-shirt. And this afternoon we're lying on our sides, shirtless, with our locked hands resting between our faces. "We seriously don't have to do this," I say. "We don't know what's next for us, and it's a big moment. You can't take it back. It's okay if you want to wait for someone else, and you're the only one I want to do this with, Ben. Do you want to?" "So much."
"Me too. I don't know how to."
"I know.
I know you know. Just be patient with me."
"Of course. If Arthur psychs himself out like last time, I'll be cool with it. I just never want him to feel uncomfortable." I kiss his knuckles. "I love you."
"I love you too."
We get going, and we go slow. I want this to be the unforgettable experience Arthur has been dreaming of for who knows how long. And it's a different kind of first time for me. Arthur is a completely different boy, and we're in a completely different bed. This apartment isn't home for either of us. But we're home for each other. And that's what makes every wall fall away, so I can only focus on him. I really want this to last as long as possible for him. No one starts a movie and immediately wants to see the credits rolling. So when this is over, I hope he looks back on this and considers it a win. The pressure is getting to me. I can't ruin this for him. I snap out of it. It's nonsense. Arthur and I have never done anything that's perfect. Perfect for us, yeah. But not on paper. And I know his thoughts are extra busy with his own concerns, especially after some technical difficulties slow us down, and we get through everything together with patience and reassuring smiles. I kiss him, and I call him beautiful, and I tell him I love him. And we go on past that finish line. We laugh, and we catch our breaths, and we peel stickers off each other. No do-over needed. Monday, August 6th. My birthday, April 7th, was the last time my group chat with Dylan, Harriet, and Hudson was active. I had sent out a text seeing if everyone wanted to meet up for lunch before Hudson took me to the concert. Harriet texted me and Hudson separately because she literally couldn't stand the idea of her text bubble even being near Dylan's. So the three of us grabbed breakfast. Dylan didn't want any drama anyway. So I just met up with him at his place and he cooked me cauliflower tacos and we played video games. just the two of us. And then Hudson and I went off to do our own thing, and I couldn't even vent about how disappointing a day it had been because his own spirits were really low from his parents' divorce earlier that week. I really wish I would have been enough to unite everyone the way Arthur was able to do on his birthday. But that's in the past now. Different times. After I got home from hanging with Arthur last night, I resurrected the group chat. Just told everyone I wanted to meet up after class today to see if we could talk things out. I put it out into the universe, with a gif of Puss in Boots begging with his huge, glassy eyes. Dylan responded with a gif of SpongeBob giving two thumbs up and said he'll be there. An hour later, Harriet responded with an As You Wish gif from The Princess Bride. And a few minutes after that, Hudson sent a gif of Stewie Griffin bouncing around in anticipation. The air was different in class this morning. No more weirdness. Like Hudson and Harriet are going to be my friends again. And not just because they were the only people I could turn to after messing things up with Arthur, Dylan, and Samantha. Everyone's willingness was enough to make me feel super hopeful about everything in life. Until Mr. Hayes handed me back a quiz where I got a C+. I was so sure I was going to score an A- or a B+. The exam that determines everything is tomorrow. Same day Arthur leaves. I don't have the hang of this. And I was ready to break down and cry, so I texted Arthur. We're canceling our plans to run around the city so Arthur can be a super tourist. And he's just going to help me study instead. I'd be surprised if we get any studying done. Too many reasons to not keep our hands off each other and one big talk we need to have. One we've been avoiding. But one big talk at a time. When we get out of class, I keep the conversation about grades as we walk over to Dream and Bean. Harriet and Hudson fared better than me, as I knew they would. It's weird how everything could fall back into place with our squad, and Harriet, Hudson, and Dylan might be moving on to senior year without me. Graduating without me. Going to college without me. I'll always be 1 year behind them in life. I have to kick this test's ass tomorrow. We get to Dream and Bean, and Dylan is seated in a corner with four drinks and a box at his feet. These aren't all for you, right? I ask as I sit next to him. Harriet sits across from me, and Hudson across from Dylan. Peace offerings, Dylan says. He gives me a pink lemonade, Hudson an iced mocha, and Harriet a cappuccino with caramel drizzle. The barista drew a cat that you could have Instagrammed, but it got messed up. Thought that counts. Thanks. Harriet takes a sip. So, how are you feeling? Been okay. Summer's been pretty slow. I did start seeing someone. That's wonderful, but I'm talking about you being admitted to the hospital, Harriet interrupts. Not your summer. You seem physically okay. What happened? Panic attack?
Yep, I'm okay.
Good, Hudson says. I wanted to text yesterday, but it didn't feel like my place.
What do you mean? Dylan asks.
Ask him, Hudson says, pointing at me. Because I didn't let you go with me to the hospital? It didn't make sense.
I have love for him too, Hudson says. He's not just your friend.
Dylan props his face into his hands.
Are you guys fighting about me?
I glare at Dylan.
I know you love him too, but you never even tried to be his friend after we broke up.
Your friend game went down before you guys broke up too, Dylan says.
Hudson is blushing.
So you're ganging up on him, Harriet says.
I call timeout with my hands. No ganging up. I know you guys have your loyalty to each other and we have our own, but this is keeping us apart. I take a deep breath.
Look, this has to be weird before it gets better. I know it's awkward, but I'm glad we're doing this.
What exactly are we doing? Hudson asks. What's the point of all this? A group hug? Instagram refollows? For starters, yeah, I say. I want us to try and hit the reset button. Get a do-over. You're both really important to us, and you're obviously not here just for fun. You want to make this right, too. Harriet stares at her cappuccino. You've never been to the hospital for a panic attack, Dylan. I was freaking out, but I felt like I wasn't allowed to be there. All because my ego refused to let me trust you with any relationship, not even a friendship, after the way you dropped me out of nowhere.
I'm really sorry, Dylan says. I just didn't want to waste your time.
I get that. I guess I'm grateful for it in retrospect. It's still a mess with my head. But no matter how angry I was, when I thought the worst was happening to you, I really wanted to be by your side like old times.
Harriet stares into his eyes, and then mine.
I don't think I would have been open to this conversation if I didn't lose sleep over all of this on Saturday.
Whoa, you lost sleep over me? Dylan says. You love sleep.
Precious beauty sleep over you, Harriet says.
It means the world to me. Dylan places a hand on his heart. I'm no longer the odd man out. Between you three connecting when Ben and I weren't talking, and all the hanging out in summer school, you guys had me wishing I failed chemistry too.
Dee, enough with the summer school jabs, okay?
Whoa. He leans in and lowers his voice. We're on the same team here. No teams. The only team is the one we're all trying to be on again. I wrap my knuckles against the table. It's just been a day. Almost failed a quiz, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to fail tomorrow. I just need support from you. Sorry, Bigby. You know I'm just joking. Time and a place. I could probably stand a summer school joke once I come out on the other side of this. If I pass. Not looking likely. Pretty sure I'm going to be repeating junior year in a different school. No you, and no you, and no you. I almost add Arthur won't be there either. But Arthur not being around for school or anything is a bigger problem eating away at me. I'm going to be the actual odd man out who gets left out and forgotten. Dylan grabs my hand.
Big Ben, if you get left back and kicked out, I would transfer to your new school. You know I'm not messing around.
I squeeze his hand back. No matter the outcome with Hudson and Harriet, I know Dylan will be in my life forever. It's the kind of comforting thought I need on the eve of Arthur leaving.
No coming to my new school if you're going to make fun of me for getting left back.
Deal.
He turns to Hudson.
Okay. So, I went to war against Harriet and Ben. You got any complaints, or can we get our group hug on?
We're good, Hudson says. I want to talk to Ben, though.
Same, I say.
Have at it,
Dylan says, waiting.
We should give them some space, Harriet says.
Why? We aired out our business in front of them.
Harriet gets up.
Come buy me a hot cappuccino and tell me about this new girlfriend.
Dylan follows, always ready to talk about Samantha. I can't believe I'm watching Dylan and Harriet walk off together, like they don't have this history of not speaking for the past 4 months. I slide across the bench, so I'm face to face with Hudson.
So, good start, right?
For the group, yeah, Hudson says.
I'm sorry I tried kissing you. I shouldn't have jumped on you like that. Some wires got crossed.
Yeah, you thought that I wanted to get back together.
Not just that. Talking about my own wires. I don't think I want us to bounce back as boyfriends. I was just confused because my parents weren't the only ones who made me believe in love. You're my first, and I wanted to feel that specialness again. But I think we're better friends than we were boyfriends.
and that's how we should keep it. You're so hard.